This podcast is intended to facilitate continuing medical education. The views expressed in this recording are those of the presenter and do not necessarily reflect the views of Novartis South Africa.
Hi, my name is Kath McCormack, and I'm from the Autoimmune Alliance of South Africa. In this episode, I'm going to talk to you about what you need to do when the rights that I described in part two have been contravened, when they've been denied. And once again, I want to remind you that I'm not a doctor and I'm not a lawyer. And the information I'm sharing with you comes directly from multiple rulings from the Council for Medical Schemes, which is the regulator of the private medical scheme industry. So before I dive into this episode, I want to make two important points. And the first is something that I didn't know until after I'd started working in this space. And maybe you know, maybe you don't, but it's that medical schemes are non-profit organizations. So the companies that administer the medical schemes, those are for-profit companies, and they're just doing fine. You look at their financial results, I don't think anybody's sacrificing any profitability there. But these administrative costs, and there are a couple of them, collectively they're called non-medical expenses, they're usually limited to around 10% of premiums. And the balance of your premium that you pay every month to your medical scheme, it goes directly to the non-profit scheme, and it must be used in benefit of scheme members. So it's in all of our best interests for us to use these funds responsibly. And that leads to the second point I want to make, is that this podcast isn't about taking advantage of medical schemes or finding loopholes to get more money out of them. The regulations that I describe in Section 2 have been part of the laws that govern your medical aid for decades. And the Council for Medical Schemes has been interpreting them in the same way for just about as long. But hardly anyone knows about these regulations because the schemes are very good at pretending they don't exist. Even if you ask your broker directly, which I did, they're likely to tell you that biologics and other specialized treatments are only available on the very highest plan types, regardless of the medical circumstances. And medical schemes reject eligible applications every day, knowing full well that the CMS would rule in that member's favor if the member knew to ask, and if the member knew how to ask, and if the member knew when to ask. And it's a big if, because most of us don't know. I've dealt with a lot of medical schemes over the years, and they've all eventually told me that if all the people who need expensive treatments like biologic are given access, then the costs will overwhelm the schemes and everybody will suffer. Recently, one of the very large schemes told me how many of their members currently use biologics, and I ran the numbers based on what these things typically cost, and the total cost of paying for the biologics, which I have to say is an astonishing amount of money because these drugs really are very expensive, but the total cost of paying for the biologics of members that currently use them accounts for approximately less than 1% of that scheme's total claim payouts. Not everybody that gets these diseases need these drugs. Not everybody needs a biologic. So it's never going to be that everybody will get one, because you've first got to jump through a whole bunch of hoops to get there. What I'm saying is this. It's important for us to think of our schemes as belonging to us. We pay those funds for our benefit. If you can afford to pay more for a higher plan type, that's fantastic. Please do. But if you can't, and you have a chronic PMB condition that hasn't responded to any of the available treatments, then know that the law, if not your scheme, has got you covered. All right, so let's get going. What do you need to do if your doctor's applied to your medical aid for something like a biologic, your medical aid has said that your plan type doesn't cover it, they're not going to pay for it, or if they have approved the application but with an unaffordable copay? Now, step one is establishing a medical case for exceptional funding. And this is really important. It's absolutely essential because the CMS always interprets the regulations the same way. So these cases are made or lost on the medical facts meeting the legal criteria. And your medical case is strong if you've tried and failed to respond to the available treatments, or if the available treatments have or will cause you harm. And you're also eligible for exceptional funding. So exceptional funding is funding outside of the scheme rules, if the protocol is not relevant to you. And if you need a refresher about why this might be, then just pop back to part two where I cover this in more detail. But in short, and as simply as I can say it, you qualify for exceptional funding if you have absolutely no other treatment options available to you except the one that your doctor has prescribed. Now, ideally, your doctor has already written a motivation for this treatment and they've explained why you can't use the formulary treatments, which, as a quick reminder, that's the collection of treatments that your scheme is prepared to pay for. Now, if your doctor hasn't written this letter, then ask them to do one. And it really just needs to include a brief overview of your medical history, and it must give some reasons why available treatments are not appropriate. And I want to take a quick break here because I don't want to imply that accessing exceptional funding is as simple as your doctor saying that you didn't respond to available treatments. As I've said before, not everyone needs a biologic. And while they are revolutionary, especially for people who don't respond to other treatments, biologics also carry risks and there are potential side effects, and honestly, they really do cost a lot of money. Now, some people, a minority of patients, don't respond to initial treatments and their disease continues despite it. Or some people suffer horrible side effects, or others can't use the formulary treatments for other reasons. It's in everyone's best interest, your own included, if you give the formulary options a really good go first. If the treatment gives you a headache, well then manage the headache and keep going until you know if it helps your disease. And if you get an upset stomach, well, you know, hang on, try to manage that, see if the side effect passes. This isn't about racing through the formulary to get to the biologic prize. And the treatments in the formulary, while older, they have long-standing safety records, and they enable disease management for a majority of people at a very reasonable cost. But if your doctor has taken you off available treatments and you're left with no appropriate medical options, then this must be captured in a brief, clear letter of motivation for the prescribed medicine. And your doctor should also reference treatment guidelines or evidence in support of that treatment, the one that they're prescribing, because the regulations in the Medical Schemes Act refer to appropriate treatments. So these regulations don't apply to treatments that aren't tried and tested and commonly accepted as being appropriate to your condition. And there are exceptions to this, but generally speaking, your doctor should be able to refer to commonly accepted treatment guidelines in showing that the prescribed medicine is suitable to your case, or as the regulations say, appropriate. And also that other available treatments are inappropriate. And remember that the PMB regulations don't give you access to any medicine. You're still limited to the most cost-effective from among the appropriate options. But this letter of motivation needs to be written by your doctor, and they'll know about the guidelines. They'll know about evidence to support their prescription. All right, what next? So before you can complain to the CMS, you have to be able to show that you try to resolve things with the scheme directly. So if you've only applied once and your application has been rejected, then either you or your doctor must write to the scheme explaining why this treatment, the prescribed treatment, is both appropriate and essential, and just ask for that query to be escalated. And then hopefully at this point, the scheme changes the funding decision and you get funding and you get your treatments and the whole thing is resolved. But if not, it is at this point that you can complain to the CMS, which, as I said in part one, is not ideal because it's a very long process. And it is at a time that you can ill afford to wait for treatment because you've been sick for a long time and you're already failing to respond to everything available to you. And ideally, in the future, schemes won't be permitted to reject eligible applications, but for the time being, they are, so complain we must. Now, lodging a complaint against your scheme can either be done online on the CMS website or by email. I prefer to email the complaints because then I have a record, but it's up to you, and honestly, both work. And the form is available on the website for download. It's pretty self-explanatory. My only advice is to make your arguments as clearly and concisely as possible. Remember to say why you qualify for exceptional funding of your treatment and refer to your doctor's letter. And at the end, ask the CMS to instruct your medical scheme to fund your treatment. And if you want to be specific, you can add in the relevant regulation here, but honestly, it isn't necessary. And then you've got to make sure to attach all the relevant information to your complaint. So that includes your doctor's motivation and any relevant treatment guidelines or evidence. Your doctor will supply that to you, as well as any supporting medical reports. So blood tests or imaging, you know, radiological supports. Before you submit your complaint, just ask yourself, have I made a compelling case for why I meet criteria for exceptional funding or funding outside of the scheme rules? And also check that you've relied on medical facts and evidence rather than emotion. Because the regulations that I've described, they respond to medical information where that triggers the regulations. But there isn't much room for emotional appeals here. And then you wait. So initially, you're going to wait for 30 days, during which time your scheme will receive your complaint from the CMS and they will write their response. And hopefully during this 30-day period, they relent, they acknowledge their obligation to fund your treatments, and the whole thing is resolved. If not, the scheme will reply to the CMS, most likely using the exact same arguments used in replies to all the other Regulation 15H and 15I complaints. And at this point, the CMS will refer your complaint to their medical review committee, who will review the medical facts of your case against the criteria of the regulations. So they just want to make sure that the medical reality of your complaint meets with the legal criteria. And this is why it's so very important to make sure that you meet these criteria before you complain, because it takes the CMS review committee a full 3 months to issue a ruling. And then you and your scheme have another 3 months to consider whether or not you want to appeal. Now, 7 months is too long to realize that you've left something out of the original complaint. And while submitting a complaint doesn't require special skills and experience, submitting an appeal does. So you really want to get it right the first time. I hope this background has given you enough to act on. If you have a PMB chronic condition and your medical scheme is refusing to fund your necessary and appropriate treatment, it's difficult and challenging to start this process knowing that your scheme might continue to reject your funding application even if you do comply with the criteria, and that they may even appeal a ruling. In fact, there's one scheme that's already told me that they will appeal all Regulation 15 rulings going forward. And I've taken this to the CMS as evidence of why this complaints process is deeply flawed when it comes to accessing exceptional funding for PMBs. And it's so very frustrating to see schemes recycle the same arguments over and over and have the CMS repeatedly overrule these arguments, and round the whole thing goes. And one of the greatest benefits of me having done this on behalf of members over the last 4 or 5 years is that it's given me a broad view of the obvious systemic issues that otherwise remain obscured. When it's just one person complaining about one scheme, they only have a view of that one complaint. But when you've done 70 of them, it becomes very clear that this is really just a cycle and nobody's inventing any new evidence or information here. So even if it's tough, and even if it seems overwhelming and pointless, I encourage you to fight for your right to treatments, especially if you've run out of options, because every new case highlights to the CMS that schemes are not rejecting these applications because of the medical facts. Schemes are rejecting these applications simply because they disagree with how the regulator interprets the law, which frankly, they interpreted the way it's written. But schemes have been allowed to continue doing this for years with no consequence. Pushing back against your scheme and complaining to the regulator, it can be intimidating. It is especially difficult for someone who is chronically ill and has failed treatment. And that's why the Autoimmune Alliance often does this on behalf of people living with chronic autoimmune diseases. And there are also other nonprofit companies and a couple of for-profit companies who do this work, some for free, others do it for a fee. At the Autoimmune Alliance, we all work as volunteers and we have limited resources and we're running out of time to argue these cases on behalf of everyone who needs the help. So if you have a large pile of cash lying around, feel free to send it our way and we'll use it to pay someone to do this work for us. But until then, we've created this podcast to enable you to help yourself. But if you really feel like you're stuck, even after listening to this, and you feel like you need some advice, you're welcome to contact me and I'll gladly give you a hand.
For more information on this podcast, send an email to info@autoimmunealliance.co.za. Novartis is a global healthcare company that provides solutions to address the evolving needs of patients worldwide.
We're with you, listening, learning, to help you live life on your terms, reimagining medicine together.